This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
Imagine walking through this massive convention center in Shanghai. And, you know, instead of just dodging regular people looking at their phones, you suddenly find yourself having to sidestep 30 autonomous humanoid robots.
Just wandering the event floor.
Exactly. Wandering around, completely seamlessly navigating the crowds. And then as you're watching them, you realize something even more shocking.
The brains inside them.
Right. The underlying AI models powering these machines are advancing so rapidly that the technology gap between the U.S. and China just shrank by nearly half in, like, a single week.
It really is a striking visual. And, you know, it perfectly encapsulates the sheer velocity of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we are no longer talking about incremental updates occurring in isolated software labs. We're watching a really rapid, highly physical realignment of global technological power.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We're taking a comprehensive look at a week that has fundamentally rewired the AI landscape.
It really has.
And our roadmap for this today is the AI Daily Briefing from July 19th, 2026. Oh, and a quick note on our sources before we really get going.
Right, the provider note.
Yeah. Today's report, including some highly critical commentary we'll be discussing, was provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Which is fantastic material.
It really is. And just so you know, for the rest of our discussion today, we will be referring to him exclusively as lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
His insights are going to be incredibly useful today because our objective is to connect some, well, some seemingly disparate dots for you.
Yeah, we're looking at rapid Chinese AI advancements, some frankly baffling corporate alliances happening over in the United States, and what all of this actually means for you and your business.
Especially as you try to navigate a world where technology laws are, you know, literally fracturing along geopolitical lines.
Let's start with that massive technological leap, though, which brings us back to Shanghai and the World AI Conference, or WAIC 2026.
The Moonshot announcement.
Yeah, the major bombshell dropped by Moonshot AI was this new open-weight model called Kimi K3. And the specs released for this model are nothing short of staggering.
They really are.
We are talking about a 2.8 trillion parameter model supporting a 1 million token context window.
Mm.
And it's built with native vision capabilities right out of the box.
To really understand the gravity of Kimi K3, you have to look at how it operates under the hood.
Right.
Specifically, it uses this mixture of experts or MoE architecture.
Let's break that down because it's important.
Yeah, so in a traditional dense model, every single time you ask it a question, the entire multi-trillion parameter network fires up.
Which is just a massive energy drain.
It's incredibly inefficient. But Kimi K3's MoE architecture completely changes that. Out of 896 specialized experts built into the model, only 16 are activated for any given prompt.
The best way to visualize this mechanism, I think, is to imagine this massive global brain trust of 896 highly specialized university professors.
Right, all sitting in a giant auditorium.
Exactly. And if you ask a question about, say, marine biology, having all 896 of them, including the astrophysicists, the medieval historians, shout at the exact same time to formulate an answer, well, it would cost an absolute fortune in energy and cognitive overhead.
Just totally chaotic.
Right. So instead, this system only wakes up the 16 specific professors who actually understand the question.
Which saves immense computational power and electricity.
While still delivering elite, highly targeted results.
And those results are fundamentally shifting the competitive landscape. I mean, let's look at the benchmarks because they illustrate exactly what this architecture is capable of.
Yeah, let's look at the numbers.
So on the front-end code arena, which for context tests a model's ability to autonomously generate functional web applications, Kimi K3 debuted at number one with an ELO score of 1,679.
Wow.
Yeah, that score actually dethroned Claude Fable 5.
Which is a complete paradigm shift for web developers.
Yeah.
Like, if an open-weight model can outperform a proprietary Western model in building front-end architecture, the barrier to entry for building complex web apps just dropped near zero.
Exactly. But it doesn't stop at coding. The sources note it also scored 93.5% on the GPQA Diamond benchmark.
That's huge.
And 88.3% on Terminal Bench.
We should probably clarify what those benchmarks actually measure for you because it really highlights the capability leap.
We do.
So GPQA Diamond tests graduate level reasoning in physics, biology, and chemistry. It proves the model isn't just, you know, retrieving text. It is actively reasoning through complex scientific problems.
Right, it's synthesizing.
And Terminal Bench measures the ability to operate within a command line environment, meaning the AI can essentially function as its own operating system to solve tasks.
Now, Moonshot did admit that in overall comprehensive performance, they still trail slightly behind Fable 5 and GPT 5.6 Sol.
Yeah, they aren't completely dominant yet.
But the UK AI Safety Institute officially weighed in on this release, and their assessment is honestly the real headline here.
What are they saying?
They stated that Kimi K3 dramatically shrinks the open weight capability gap between the US and China. Just a few months ago, analysts were looking at a 6 to 10 month gap. Now the Institute places it at just 4 to 7 months.
That compression of the timeline puts immense pressure on Western frontier labs. But if we pivot to the practical application here, like why a listener deploying business solutions should actually care about a 2.8 trillion parameter open weight model.
This is where lawyer Kyungjin Kim's commentary comes in.
Right.
He highlights that Kini K3's open weight nature, combined with the remarkably cheap cash input cost, we're talking just 30 cents per 1 million tokens, completely upends corporate data security strategies.
Just think about the day-to-day reality of a major law firm or like a corporate legal team.
Yeah.
Previously,
yeah.
If they wanted to use frontier-level AI to summarize a massive stack of sensitive case law or merger and acquisition contracts, they were forced to send highly confidential documents to an external server hosted by a major tech giant.
Which compliance officers absolutely hate. They despise that risk profile.
Oh yeah, it's a nightmare for them.
But now, because Kimi K3 is an open weight model that is incredibly cheap to run on local hardware, that same law firm can run a model of this caliber entirely inside their own office server.
That is massive.
They can dump thousands of pages of legal contracts into that 1 million token context window, get graduate level analysis, and the data never once leaves the physical building.
I do want to flag the crucial warning lawyer Jingjin Kim issues here, though.
Yeah, the hallucination risk.
Right. Because Kimi K3 still trails the absolute top-tier proprietary models in comprehensive accuracy, it is still trying to hallucinations.
Yeah.
His advice is that bypassing human review is incredibly dangerous.
Completely agree.
Like, the capability is there to generate a complete legal brief locally. But if you file it without an expert checking the underlying logic and citations, you are inviting a catastrophic liability issue.
The local processing capability is revolutionary, no doubt, but the human in the loop remains non-negotiable for enterprise deployment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this local processing power isn't just limited to office servers. The WAIC event made it very clear that this level of compute is being pushed aggressively to the absolute edge.
Directly into the physical world.
Yes.
Which brings us back to those robots I mentioned earlier. Agibot unleashed 4 different humanoids at the event, with the absolute standout being the A3 Ultra.
The processing power on that machine is frankly hard to wrap your head around.
It really is. It's powered by an NVIDIA Thor chip, pushing out 700 TOPS.
And for those unfamiliar with the metric, TOPS stands for tera operations per second.
So 700 trillion operations.
Every single second. Yeah, it isn't just about speed. It is about the ability to process thousands of real-time spatial vectors simultaneously. If a humanoid robot is going to catch a falling object or, you know, navigate a crowded room, it has to calculate physics, vision, and micromotor controls in milliseconds.
Which explains how they solved the indoor-outdoor transition problem. The sources note the A3 Ultra uses a combination of GPS, RTK, and UWB tracking to pinpoint its location down to the centimeter.
Right, because GPS alone just isn't enough.
Yeah, we all know GPS is practically useless the second you walk deep into a dense warehouse. But RTK, or real-time kinematic positioning, uses local base stations to correct GPS errors instantly.
It's super precise.
And UWB, or ultra-wideband, allows the robot to orient itself perfectly indoors by communicating with local sensors.
It creates a totally seamless transition. A robot can walk from a sunny sidewalk into a complex concrete warehouse environment without ever losing its centimeter-level spatial awareness.
And combine that computational awareness with an 8-hour hot swap battery.
Meaning you can switch the battery without even turning the robot's brain off.
Right. You have a machine designed for continuous autonomous operation in complex human environments.
And the founders were on stage announcing plans for global export while dozens of these A3 Ultras were actively wandering the event floor.
It's just wild. But here is the connective tissue between a 2.8 trillion parameter software model and a fleet of autonomous walking robots.
Thermal and energy constraints.
Yes. Whether you are running Kimi K3 or training the models that power the A3 Ultra, you need an unfathomable amount of physical computing power.
The edge devices are becoming incredibly capable, sure, but the massive data centers required to train the foundation models are becoming the true geopolitical choke points of the future.
Which naturally leads us to the bizarre economic alliances forming around this physical infrastructure.
Exactly. We are shifting our focus from the technology itself to the strange economics fueling it. Over in the U.S., there are these unconfirmed but heavily reported negotiations happening between Meta and Anthropic.
Yeah, the proposed deal structure is that Meta is looking to lease out up to $10 billion, which is roughly 14 trillion Korean, one of its AI data center computing capacity, to Anthropic over a two-year period.
And this arrangement would reportedly be paid monthly, featuring flexible early exit options for both sides.
Which is a massive chunk of change.
To put that $10 billion figure into context, this single compute lease is about one-third the size of the massive $45 billion three-year data deal Anthropic struck with SpaceX back in May.
Wow. So we are talking about capital flows that rival the defense budgets of small nations, purely to secure compute.
Exactly.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate here, because from a strategic standpoint, this seems completely contradictory to me.
How so?
Well, Meta and Anthropic are locked in a fierce multi-billion-dollar race to build the best frontier AI models. They are direct, aggressive competitors.
Very aggressive.
So why on earth would a model seller like Meta rent its highly valuable, incredibly scarce computing factory to a direct rival? Isn't that literally like handing weapons to the opposing army?
On the surface, it absolutely seems counterintuitive, but it really highlights the shifting and incredibly expensive economics of AI.
Okay, walk me through it.
Meta has poured tens of billions of dollars into building these massive data centers, right? But compute is essentially a depreciating asset.
Oh, like a car losing value over time.
Exactly. An idle GPU sitting in a data center between Meta's own training runs is essentially just burning money.
I see. So by renting out that excess compute, Meta instantly monetizes their massive capital expenditures.
Yes. They are turning those server racks into a steady cash flow. It shows that in the current AI landscape, being a landlord for compute might be just as important as selling the models themselves.
That's a wild thought.
Especially since Mark Zuckerberg noted recently that companies are begging to buy compute from them on a weekly basis.
The demand is just insatiable. So we're seeing the technology and hardware are evolving and crossing corporate borders at breakneck speed. But politically,
the borders are actually closing.
Yeah. How is the world governing this explosive growth? Let's bring this back to Shanghai and look at WAICO.
The World AI Cooperation Organization.
Right. It launched at the WAIC in Shanghai with headquarters in the city. And the founding document was signed by 29 countries.
And the demographics of who signed are incredibly revealing here.
Yeah, it heavily featured the Global South.
Right, exactly. Indonesia, Brazil, Malaysia, South Africa, Russia, Pakistan, and Kazakhstan.
That is a very specific block.
And it was attended by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, which gives it a lot of legitimacy, but notably absent.
The U.S. and the EU.
Yep.
Now, lawyer Kung Jin Kim provides some crucial geopolitical commentary on this event.
He does, and it's vital for businesses to understand.
Yeah, he points out that WAICO essentially confirms that AI regulation will not converge into a single international standard. The rulebook is fracturing.
Right, into distinct Western and Chinese-led blocks.
And for multinational clients, this is a massive headache.
Oh, it's an operational nightmare.
Because they must now calculate the burden of managing completely different regulatory frameworks depending on the jurisdiction they operate in.
And we're seeing these local laws take shape right now.
Yeah, if we bring the regulatory focus to South Korea, in exactly 2 days, July 21, 2026, the nation's AI Basic Act goes into full effect.
That's right around the corner.
It is. And it mandates operator responsibilities, transparency, and safety for anything they define as high-impact AI.
Interestingly, it expands the definition of AI vulnerable groups in a very specific way.
Tell me about that.
It includes career-interrupted women, job seekers, non-capital SME workers, and farmers and fishers.
That is incredibly specific.
It's highly localized.
So how should businesses actually react to a law passing at 48 hours? That sounds like a trigger for corporate panic.
Well, lawyer Kung Jin Kim shares some very pragmatic advice here.
Which is?
Don't panic about immediate punishments. The government is offering a one-year grace period with expert consulting and cost support.
Well, that's actually really helpful.
Yeah, businesses should use this time to calmly figure out if their tech is even classified as high impact and to set up transparency compliance rather than worrying about immediate penalties.
That makes a lot of sense. Use the runway they're giving you.
Exactly.
Well, to pull this entire deep dive together for you, we are entering a wildly complex era, one where you can run a massive frontier-level AI on an office server.
Where tech giants rent each other their most precious resource.
Yeah, and where the laws governing it all depend entirely on what side of the globe you stand on.
I want to leave you with a final lingering question building on all of this, though.
Go for it.
If global AI regulations are permanently splitting into rival blocks, and AI models are heavily shaped by the legal and cultural data they are trained on,
okay,
could we soon see a world where a business strategy generated by a Western AI is fundamentally incompatible with the logic of a global South AI?
Oh.
Like, what happens when these legally distinct AI minds inevitably have to negotiate a contract with each other?
That is a staggering implication. Do they even share a common baseline of logic at that point?
It's something we are going to have to figure out very soon.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring these shifts, and we'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics, and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.